Over the last couple of years, we've followed research at the George Institute in Sydney about the effectiveness of common painkillers in back pain. Paracetamol bombed out, as pretty much did codeine. Now they've looked at these same non-steroidal anti-inflammatories that Dr. Singh was just talking about in relation to cancer prevention. So what did they find? Were they much chop in back pain? Here to tell us is Associate Professor Manuela Ferreira. Welcome to the Health Report.
Thank you.
What did you do in this study?
So in the study, we actually reviewed about 35 trials conducted all over the world and including over 6,000 patients with spinal pain. And we're interested in actually assessing or identifying the magnitude of the benefit as well as the risk of adverse events associated with these drugs.
And when you say spinal pain, just describe what was happening to these people on average.
So basically the common back pain as well as neck pain and sciatica.
That's where the pain goes down your leg.
That's right. That's when the pain goes down your leg.
And these were randomized trials, so they were against placebo.
So all of these trials were randomized trials. And so one group received the drug, the anti-inflammatory, and the other group received the placebo or a sugar pill.
So what did you find?
So what we found was actually there is some benefit. So anti-inflammatories, they do offer some benefit compared to placebo, but it's a small benefit. So on average, it's less than 10% what you would get if you just took a sugar pill. And we also found that...
So 10% above a sugar pill?
Above a sugar pill, exactly.
Right.
Less than 10%.
So would you notice it if you didn't know what you were taking? Would you notice that 10% difference?
It's a good question. Arguably, patients wouldn't really think that this is noticeable or worthwhile.
Okay, what sort of percentage uplift would you need to notice it's worthwhile? Because you've done some studies on this.
We have, yeah, exactly. So patients believe that they need to be at least 25% better or above placebo to consider the risks of side effects associated with anti-inflammatories worthwhile.
So, and there are risks of gastrointestinal hemorrhage and things like that. So here you've done, so after all these years of research, paracetamol, not much good. In fact, I don't think it was any good. Opioids, codeine-like drugs, a bit like the anti-inflammatories. You got some effect, but probably not enough to make a difference. And worthy of the constipation or the risk of addiction. And here you've done the same thing with non-steroidals. As a sufferer of back pain, like many people in Australia, I'm getting a bit depressed now, Manuela. Tell me something that I can do.
Okay.
And why painkillers aren't helping?
Well, there are many reasons why painkillers wouldn't help. So, for example, let's look at anti-inflammatories. So the role of anti-inflammatory is to reduce inflammation. So one reason could be that they are not reducing inflammation enough to actually result in a reduction in pain and improvement in function. Or it could be that inflammation is not the main cause of back pain. It could also be, like you're saying, that patients don't perceive that as being worthwhile overall. So, for example, anti-inflammatories and opioids can give some quick relief. But, you know, along the way, overall, that relief is not really perceived as being an improvement or don't lead them to recover from their condition.
So have we misconceived what back pain is?
It's a good question. We have noticed in research that the approaches, the treatments that have a broader view, so for example, the healthy lifestyle interventions, reducing your weight, healthy diet, being physically active. So all those approaches, they actually have a better or a greater benefit in the management of back pain. So, yeah, maybe we have been looking at...
Well, just forgive me a moment of skepticism. Yeah. What's a healthy diet got to do with my back?
Well, healthy diet has a lot to do with your stress, has a lot to do with maintaining your healthy weight. So that has a lot to do with your back.
Now, physiotherapists have developed the evidence base around physiotherapy, chiropractic, I mean, it's kind of there. Your manipulation might help in the acute, but doesn't help in the long term. But there's been a recent thing about core muscle strengthening. I mean, is there any physio that actually helps here?
There is actually exercise-based or physical activity-based interventions that do help. So exercising, strengthening your core, or sometimes even going for a walk. So all of that has been shown to effectively reduce your back pain.
As opposed to just lying down to it.
Exactly. And yeah.
And you're also about to tell me you need more research to find out really what's going on.
We do. So,
of course.
Yeah, we do.
Manuela, thanks. But you're a back pain sufferer yourself.
I am a back pain sufferer myself, yeah.
So physiotherapist, heal thyself.
You know, when I'm in crisis, what I personally do, I go for a short walk, a light walk. And that, for me, it does the trick.
But people get into sort of bad posture. You've got to really correct that too, because that can make you worse.
So one piece of advice is actually to stay away from prolonged sitting, prolonged standing, and stay away from activities or positions that actually aggravate your symptoms.
Manuela, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Associate Professor Manuela Ferreira, who is at the George Institute in Sydney.